Well, it's this evening we do have the pleasure of having Brother Bruce Martin and Alan Webster are going to share some things about their recent trip to Mexico, give us a report on that. And so please, we're just going to let them pray for Brother Bruce. He's going first because he's leaving here and will be speaking for a funeral this evening via Zoom. There is a dear friend of family friend, but a dear friend of his father's. I'll let him explain more about that, but that passed away in the past week. So, but that's kind of interesting the way the technology allows us to do those kind of things in these days. So please, please pray for the men as they come this evening.
Well, good evening. It's a pleasure to be back with you, and thank you for your prayers, as usual. When we're traveling, we are very much appreciative. We know that you are praying for us because we can feel it. You know, sometimes something, an event occurs when you're on the mission field, and the question sometimes in the back of your mind is, well, I've got to deal with this right now, but I wonder if someone's praying for me. Who's holding the ropes while I'm dealing with this problem? And it's very important. My father one time was giving a lesson, and he was talking about giving the Holy Spirit permission to work in your life. You think, well, that's obvious. I should, you know, do that. Well, do you really understand what you're saying? You know, there's a lot of things we talk about, you know, praying for patience. Well, do you realize what you're asking for when you say you're praying for patience? Tribulation worketh patience. You're saying, Lord, give me tribulation so I can have patience. Well, it's the same thing in a way with the Holy Spirit. What you're saying is, he's going to do some things to you that you might be surprised he's going to do. And one of those things is, especially when we're talking about intercession and praying for missionaries, is he might wake you up in the middle of the night and you can't sleep because on your heart there's someone that you're concerned about. Amen. And if you have the wisdom and the discernment to realize, well, God's put this person in my heart for a reason. I need to uphold them in prayer at this hour. And that's what it means, giving the Holy Spirit permission. It might be disrupting your plans. Get something done that he wants you to get done. So that's an important thing. As the pastor mentioned, very close friend. I saw him in May in Houston. My wife and I made a trip to Houston back in May to visit a pediatric doctor, Brother Efraín Contreras. His father was a Baptist pastor in Mexico. He decided to go into the medical field, came to the United States, studied. I think he even studied at Harvard. He really advanced in the medical field, went back to Mexico, started a pediatric practice with children, became one of the top pediatric doctors in the whole country. He was very well known. In fact, there in the city of Puebla where we lived, anyone that I, if, even to this day, I mean, he hasn't practiced medicine now for about 20 years, but even to this day, if I go see a doctor there and it says, well, Dr. Efraín Contreras gave me a recommendation. It's like, oh, he gave you a recommendation? Okay, you got special contacts. Because they all recognize who he was and what he did. And there in Mexico, in Puebla, the city of Puebla, where we lived, when we moved there in 1968, very quickly, my youngest brother, Benjamin, had a major medical incident. And we took it to him, and he saved his life. It was really an amazing thing that went through it all. And of course, Dad got to talking to him, realized that he was a believer, not only a believer, but a Baptist, and they started a friendship that lasted the rest of their lives. He had very much an interest in doing medical caravans or medical teams to needy areas. And he had just, by the time my father and he met, he'd gone to Honduras. Now, this is talking about 1969. This is a long time ago. And gone to Honduras on a medical trip, and as he was flying back, the Lord impressed upon him and said, and we talked about this here this last May, the Lord impressed upon him and said, why are you going to Honduras when here in your own country you have a just as much or a greater need? And so not too much longer, he and my father were together, and he was talking to my father about this, and Dad said, well, I can help you out with that. I've got places in Chiapas that need medical trips. And that's how it began. Eventually, he was the founder of the Christian Medical Association of Mexico, and it's a very large organization today. He's not involved in it anymore because he retired, but he was very influential in bringing there was a lot of doctors. The hospital that he worked at there in Puebla had used to be a Baptist hospital. And so most of the doctors in that hospital were Christians. And so with those doctors, we ended up taking many, not just medical trips, in within the state of Chiapas. We went to Michoacán, we went to Guerrero, we went to a lot of places. We ended up tying in with a lot of doctors in the U.S., especially out of San Antonio. And we had, dozens and dozens of those trips. In fact, I'll be showing a lot of those slides and stuff tonight at the funeral as we remember what he did and the impact that he had upon medical missions in Mexico. And so he was in his almost 90s. When we first met him, he was single in his late 30s, believe it or not. We introduced his wife to him, and they have three children. And one of their daughters is the psychologist at a special rescue mission in Houston for the First Baptist Church of Houston. So she is in her 40s and getting married in September. It's kind of a sad he did not survive long enough to take his daughter down the aisle. And they're having that wedding in September. So a lot of things have been going on. It was very wonderful for my wife and Andrew and his wife to sit down with them in May and have about 3-4 hours of good fellowship. I didn't realize that would be the last time I'd be seeing him. But we thank the Lord for that. And since COVID restrictions are high, even for that wedding that they're planning in September, they really are limited what they can do. They're going to just have a Zoom meeting, so to speak, for the memorial for him instead of a live meeting. So that's the plan for tonight. So excuse me if I have to leave a bit early. We just got back from our trip a week ago yesterday. Question was, well, why didn't you give a report last Sunday? Well, we weren't quite ready. We got back in the house about 11 o'clock at night, Saturday night, and we didn't have the video ready or anything like that. So we've been working on that pretty heavily. Brother Alan's very excited about all the pictures he took. Every picture that you're going to see, Brother Alan took. He took pictures like you would not believe. He was excited about doing it. And I very much enjoy when I have someone from the church going with me. Let me tell you, do not feel embarrassed. If you feel of the Lord that you'd like to go a trip, let me know. I'll be glad to take you with me. I'm always wanting to take you with me. Now, a lot of you have already gone with me, but there are some of you who are new in the church. You've never done a mission trip or anything like that. Let me know. I'll be glad to take you with me. Some situations you can go with your family, your wife, or someone else even, depending on whether I'm going with Provi or not. This last one was just all men. And we had several projects we were doing. Brother Alan won't cover this, but I'm involved right now with Bob Jones University in helping them dub into Spanish the film called Sheffy. Sheffy is a film that was made in the 1970s. I worked 3 years on it as a student. And it's about a circuit riding preacher in North Carolina, Virginia, during the late 1800s. A circuit riding preacher was a guy that went from place to place. He was a very well-known preacher, and they made a biographical dramatic film of his life. And it's been out now for almost 40 years, but they've never dubbed it into Spanish. Cost was one of the things. Also, we didn't feel like most of the people in Latin America would not identify it with it because it was so Americana in its culture. But things are changing. People are more exposed to a lot more today. Plus, the cost of dubbing has really dropped. So I was in Mexico City the first day that we went down visiting companies that do this. Believe it or not, there's a lot of companies that do this work of dubbing into Spanish. And we presented the project to them, requesting quotes. I'll be in October going over to South Carolina to sit down with them, and we'll start looking about it. And maybe by January of this next year, we'll start doing the recording. And sometime next year, we hope to release the film in Spanish, too, which will be a good thing. They've done this already in several of the other films, but this is the first time they're doing with this one. So I've been excited to be able to be involved in that. And then we flew down to the city of Tuxtla Gutierrez, which is the capital of Chiapas. And we had another young man that joined us. He's in his mid-30s, late-30s, Brother Stephen Kim. Stephen Kim is the son of a missionary that was sent from Korea to Mexico. Now, this is what's happening, people. I think you don't realize this, but around the world, God is beginning to use other countries to send missionaries. And I think one of the reasons is we in America are not doing the job that we used to do. God is moving his hand of blessing upon other countries. Mexico is doing this quite a bit. I don't know if you realize, but from Mexico, they're sending missionaries to Israel, to China, to Chile. I know some guys in Chile, to Argentina. David comes across missionaries that are going there from Mexico all the time. I can just go on and on. Sadly, a lot of them are not well prepared, and they're having a lot of attrition, a lot of problems, and we're trying to help them. But still, they're wanting to get the job done. In fact, in November, I'll be one of our churches in Chiapas, and I'll be spending 3 days teaching 24 young people who want to be missionaries, how to become missionaries. In fact, they've already told me we already have the money to start doing survey trips to other countries. So things are starting to move in those areas. So let's pray about that. And anyway, Brother Stephen came to Mexico 28 years ago at the age of 8. His parents moved there as missionaries. So he grew up in Mexico, speaks Spanish flawlessly, went to the States to study, married his wife there in the States. He went to West Coast Baptist College there in Lancaster, California for a while, then went to Pensacola to get his master's. He's working on his doctorate now. His father has been working for 28 years there. It's very unusual, his father is like what we call a tent maker. I don't know if you know what a tent maker is in missions. A tent maker refers to the Apostle Paul that to support himself during some of his ministry, instead of depending on the churches, he worked making tents. Well, there are some missionaries that do that. Instead of depending on churches, they have some income of their own or they have a business. And this man has a very large textile business in Mexico. In fact, it's a very large textile business and it's very profitable. And that's the reason that we're also using, he is the one that is sponsoring the project of printing the Fundamentalist Bible there in Mexico. But anyway, he is now branching out. He's got a school in Honduras, a school in Mexico City. I've been teaching. In fact, I will start tomorrow teaching a class on Baptist history, and they're in their college. They have a reciprocal agreement with our RTTU, and so we're working together on those projects. And Brother Stephen Kim is in charge of the school. He handles all that area, the academic area. And we've known each other now for about 4 or 5 years, become good friends. And I've told him a lot about what's going on in southern Mexico in Chiapas, so he wanted to go. And so it was good for him, too. It just as for Brother Allen, it was an eye-opener. It was also an eye-opener for Brother Stephen about how to do missions. Because he's never really taken much lessons. In fact, when I began talking about a lot of the things that we teach at TTU, he says, I've got to take some classes there. He says, I have no idea that all this stuff existed as far as this type of teaching. So we spent a lot of time, him and I, in fellowshipping and discipling and talking about how to do mission work. And that was the purpose that I invited him. Plus, he did a lot of preaching, did a great job of preaching. Brother, he's a missionary that he doesn't depend on his father. He has support from the States. And in fact, he's sent out of a church in Los Angeles area that is really unusual. The churches in Korea sent a missionary from Korea to Los Angeles to start churches among the Koreans in California. They did that about 40 years ago. And this church is really growing. I've met their pastor, a very good man. Their doctrine is surprised me how similar it is to ours in a lot of different ways. Their background is Baptist Bible Fellowship, but they've gone on and broken with them and doing their own thing. But he is church-sponsored by that church in Mexico. So they're very much very similar to us in their church doctrine, things like that. So I was very pleased as we began to spend some time with them. And in fact, when I was in Los Angeles, January of 2020, I sat down with his pastor for about 2 or 3 hours and discussed a lot of things about the Bible translations in Korea, things like that are going on. So we've become pretty close in a lot of areas. And so I thank the Lord for that. And we're also cooperating in doing ministry a lot. So this was a very important time. Hopefully his father will come down and visit also Chiapas sometimes too to see what's going on. And we're excited about what God is doing. Now, Brother Allen will be giving a lot of the details of what we did. We were at an ordination, big ordination, had about 600 to 700 people attending the ordination, and they killed 2 cows to feed everybody. It was a big event. Then we spent the next 2 days visiting churches in the area. Then we traveled about 8 hours of driving and to the camp in Chilon, where we have a conference center that's been there for about 40 years. And had a conference there. I think we had 86 or 87 preachers, 59 churches represented, 20 some odd Sunday school teachers, about 200 people in attendance. It was a pretty big crowd. had a good time, good fellowship, good spirit. Had some people come all the way, 20-hour drive from northwest of Mexico City. Another ministry my father had in the state of Michoacan, where David Christen was at. They came down with a musical group. You'll see that here in the videos here in just a minute. And I haven't seen them in about 2-3 years, so it was good to see them also. They were there for almost 2.5 weeks. They had a long time. And then the last day that after the conference, we went to another village where there's a strong church and spent some time there in that last village. We had 5 people saved. So it was a good time. One thing I want you to pray about. At the conference center that we have there in Chilon, Chiapas, the history of this is long. Back in 1968, when my father first began working in the state of Chiapas, we bought a ranch in the center part of the area, and that became our Bible Institute and the place that we worked from for quite a few years. I think it was 12 years. My parents built a house there. They didn't live there all the time, but when they come, sometimes they spend 6 or 7 months in the area. I remember there going when we just had bought the place and there was no buildings at all, hardly, living under a thatched roof for some time. We did a lot of those medical teams we talked about there, built an airstrip. And from there, Dad used his airplane to operate from. And used that, like I said, for 12 years. But it became a problem because in those areas, your title and your security of personal property, of private property, is not too good. There's a big problem with what we call invasions or squatters. People just come in and start living on your land. And once they do that, the government gives them a lot of rights, and it's hard to get rid of them. So that was a problem. We were beginning to see that there was a lot of threats, a lot of situations that might happen. So they sold that and went to a large town. This was out in the country, in a rural area. They went to the county seat, Chilon, and bought this other property. It was about 40 acres that they bought. The other one was several hundred acres. This was about 40 acres. And they began 40 years ago. Brother Hugh Atkinson went there for the very first conferences we ever had, when they had no buildings at all. And then Brother Larry and several of our church has been involved in that conference center now for the last 40 years. It's been a very important thing. Well, they're still having a lot of problems there. It's got 40 acres, most of it coffee or grazing land, but it's been abandoned as far as we've got the buildings there for the conference center, but the rest of it is not being developed. It's just abandoned. And we already had some squatters come in and take some of the land from us. And so there's been a concern. They've been trying to transfer the title to a nonprofit organization that they created for 5 years. They spent $5,000 in lawyer's fees. It still hasn't happened. So they finally decided about 6 months ago to sell it. And it created a lot of problems. The elderly pastors are not happy. There's a lot of memories there. There's a lot of sentimentality, a lot of decisions, and a lot of things happened in that place. Of course, my father preached there many, many times. So they're having a very difficult time accepting that that place will not be there anymore to be used. And so I had to deal with that while I was there. I had to preach about it. I told them, I says, we did it already once. We had to sell to another place that also had a lot of sentimental value and come here. And if it's the Lord's will, he'll find the proper buyers for this place. So they're waiting on that. They say they've already got 2 people that are bidding for it. So it is possible that it will be sold. It will also solve the problem of the title transfer, because all you have to do is if you sell it, you turn around and take the money and give it to the nonprofit, and it will buy the next property. And they're thinking about putting a location that's a lot better than where they're at now. Where they're at now, there's no internet, there's no cell phone signal, things like that. So if they go to a different place, there's also a big problem with parking, with access. When it rains, as it did this time, with a lot of mud, a lot of other problems. So their desire is to find a much better location where they can build better and have more parking and a lot of other things like that. So pray with them about that, because that's a very big need. And like I said, I'll be going back in November, and I'll be doing the biggest event in November. We'll be having a conference for preacher candidate, for missionary candidates. I'm really excited about that. And I ask that you pray with us on that. I let Brother Allen bring all the details of what it was like, the actual living conditions and stuff. That's what impresses most people. Let me tell you, it changes him. Anybody that goes with us will realize it does change you when you go. Those of you that have gone can testify to this. So like I said, anyone that wants to go with me, I'm more than happy to take you along with me. You're on, brother. Do you want this other microphone, or you want to use this one here? All right. Okay.
Buenas noches. Pray with me a bit on this because I'm a little nervous. First of all, I'd like to thank God for the opportunity to go on this missions trip. I'd also like to thank our Pastor Turner for his support in me going. And I'd like to thank the church, you, for your support and your prayers for us as we went. We left on July 27th. We flew to Mexico City. We got there mid-afternoon and got a motel room, pretty nice motel room, Hampton Inn. And next morning we got up and went and visited two different places to do this dubbing that they're trying to do on this film. And then we went on a little excursion. We saw parts of Mexico City. We went to Montezuma's Castle. If you're a Marine, you know what Montezuma's Castle is for, or was. The halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli. You youngsters may not know about that. But anyway, it was important to the Marines. On Thursday, we flew down to the capital of Chiapas. And we rented a car, and then we drove to the town of Majavi. It was about a three-hour ride, and we stopped at the home of Ramon Alfonso. He's got a church there in Mojave. Yes. That too. My Spanish is not very good. It hasn't improved any either. When we got there, we loaded up in his pickup and drove about two more hours to where the conference was, where the ordination was, and there was about 600 people there. And can we have the first slide, please? This is typical of the roads we were on. Speed bumps. Yeah, speed bumps everywhere you go. And also trucks. And I put about 1,000,000 miles on a big truck like that. But I'd have to pass on driving these roads. There's a cornfield up there on the side of the hill. Now, they farm corn on the side of a hill that's like this right here. They plant the corn, and they keep straight rows by hand. They plant it all by hand. There's no mechanization of that. And we got to the conference center. And the next slide, please. Could you hit it again, please? Now, right here, we talked about the killing of two cows. Well, here they are cutting up one of the forequarters of the cows the hard way with a hatchet. Not too nice, but anyway. Here is a picture with Brother Steve, Bruce, and myself. And the young lady right there, she was our host where we spent the night. Her and there was two other ladies in the house. And they were gracious enough to provide us with beds. It was very, very nice. There was, next slide, please. Here's the young ladies in the area. That's their typical Indian dress. That's their everyday dress. And each individual tribe has their own unique dress. And this happens to be for this tribe. If you look, you can see how the road takes off. This is up on a hill. and it's downhill everywhere you look. Oh, this way, this way, this way. And it's very, very steep. Next slide, please. Here's some more of the young ladies. Now this one here, that lady in that black skirt, that's a full wool skirt with long hair still on it. That's the reason we took that picture. Everybody up there wants to get a picture with us. Bruce and I and Steve must have had our picture taken 1,000 times. It was everybody wanted a picture. So when they got a picture, I got a picture. The conference, the ordination went very well. There was several musicians there, did a wonderful job. The singing was great. I couldn't understand a word they said, but I knew the tunes, and it was very nice. Friday, we left Friday afternoon, and we drove back to Simahavel, and we went to Ramon's house and spent the night there. And Saturday, Steve preached at his church Saturday evening, and then Sunday, we had a good service there Sunday. Next slide, please. Next one, please. Well, let me back up a little bit. The reason for this slide, if you'll look up there on the side of the hill, now you can see how steep that is. Those are cornfields. You see the rows. And how they even get up there, I don't know. I mean, I couldn't walk up there. Of course, I'm old. And then you can see over that hill, and then there's another mountain on the other side. It's very, very mountainous in that area. Okay, next slide, please. Okay, there's Brother Ramon, Brother Steve, Bruce, and myself. That's at a river there that we had to cross. And it was just a good place for a picture. Okay, on at Ramon's church there, Sunday, both Steve and Bruce preached. Very good service. That's right. There were so many different places that we went. Okay, next slide, please. This is at Ramon's church.
No, this is Asuka.
Okay. All right, next slide, please.
That's Ramon's.
Yeah, this is Ramon's church, and you can see how many folks was there. There's a full house, standing room only. And they were on wooden benches. In other words, it's just a piece of wood laid out with legs on it. Not, and they were there for 3 to 4 hours. And I'm speaking for myself, too. I couldn't do it. Next slide, please. Here's public transportation. Everybody jumps in the back of a pickup and hangs on. Next slide, please.
This is Vicky Afan on Sunday.
Yeah. This little church at we were at Ramon's church, we was at 3,000 feet, and at this church was 990 feet elevation. So there was no breeze. And it's about 85 degrees and about 90% humidity.
It was hot.
But it was a very good service. Everybody at the church wanted to shake our hands as we came in. Very friendly. Next slide, please. Every place we went, we had to eat. We went to service, then we went to eat. And it was very good food, very good food. Next slide, please. Is this anybody's water?
It's yours.
Okay, thank you. Excuse me. On our trip back to Ramon's place, we stopped, and there's some coffee being grown. The coffee is under, when there's a canopy of trees, there's coffee. Coffee's grown under trees, basically. It can't be grown in open sunlight. It has to have a canopy to keep the sunlight from hitting it so much. Next slide, please. Now, we went to the conference center in Chillon, and our motel room was right across the street. We don't have any sound on that. Right across the street from the Catholic Church. And these were going off till about 10 o'clock at night. I don't know what they're celebrating, but it's loud.
Do it again. Run it again if you can. Run it again. Back up. There we go.
Sing a little bit. I think it's got some hands.
The rockets are on. They're laying all over the place out there. Anyway, next slide, please. I took these pictures for the ladies. These are some flowers that were at the motel along the courtyard. Next slide. Some of you ladies may recognize those. Next slide. Okay, this is at the conference center. You can see the benches. That's what they sit on. They were kind enough to give me a chair that I could sit in, but it had a back on it. But these men and women sit there on those hard benches. Now, Brother Bruce and Brother Steve preached some very good messages. I know it had to be good because God was talking to me and I don't even speak Spanish. Next slide, please. Did harmonize good together. It was great to hear them. They sang several songs, and Alphonse spoke English. He was my friend. Also, his brother was there. He was their driver. These are the guys that drove 20 hours to get to this conference, and that has to say something. And they performed several songs. And the conference took place 2.5 days. Brother Bruce and Steve preached 2 times each day. And then on the last day, they preached one each. And it was, again, they were very moving services. You just had to be there. If you have the opportunity to go with Bruce, go. I learned some things about Bruce that, well, I thought I knew Bruce pretty well. I'd been to several of his classes at TTU, talked with him here in church quite a bit. But to go with him and see him work and see how the people love him. His father started this ministry with God's help. He has taken over the ministry with God's help. And when you see 600 people in one building because of those two men, it's got to get you. And in all these little churches, when he comes in, it's, "Oh, Bruce, how are you?" They don't say Bruce, but whatever their name is in Spanish. But to watch him, he's a different man, I promise. He's in his element, just like his dad was. And I wish I'd have known his dad more, instead of just meeting him once. But quite a trip. Next slide, please. Okay, here's that group that was singing. Alphonse is on my right. I got my arm on his shoulder. And his brother's to my left with the white shirt on. And when we left there, I was talking to Alphonse, and I said, "You know, brother," I said, "all good things have to come to an end at some time or another. And we're going to have to say our goodbyes." But I said, he told me previously that he wanted to see me again. And I told him I wanted to see him again. And on that last day, I told him that we probably won't see each other again in this life, but I'll see you in heaven, brother. And I gave him a hug. I gave him a hug. And he said goodbye. But anyway, it was nice to be able to find somebody that spoke English and was a true Christian. And 1,500 miles away from home, or 2,000 miles, or however far it is. Next slide, please. Now, this is how these ladies cook three meals a day for 200 people over an open fire. Yeah, we got you, Sandra. We got you covered here. But that's how they cook the meals. Next slide, please. This lady here, they had cut chicken breast, thin sliced chicken breast, and breaded them. And then she's deep frying them. And there was another couple of ladies over there deep frying too. But you can see on an open fire. In the top left corner there, there's a pot. It's got pasta in it with a real good sauce. I don't know what's in the sauce, but it's got a little pepper in it. And it's good. And then you can see there's plates up there with some tomato and some lettuce. Don't eat the lettuce. Anyway, next slide, please. Here is the kitchen crew. The lady right in front of Bruce, she's the Sandra of that outfit. The lady to her, just to her right, kind of between Bruce and I, she's the go-to lady. If you need something, well, you go to her. She'll find it for you. The day I got sick on the last day, and I'd went in there and I wanted some Coke to kind of settle my stomach where I could burp. Anyway, they were all just doling over me, and they didn't speak English and I didn't speak Spanish, but we got the job done. The two people on the end over there on that end, the man is one of the servers, and the lady next to him is a server also. He's the deacon. Yeah, he's the deacon of the church. The deacons in every church took care of all the folks. And it was amazing. We always had our own table. The preachers, they included me in that, but the preachers always had their own table. We had the same food as everybody else, but we had a table. And the deacons all took care of us. And it, if you just wanted anything, well, there was two deacons there trying to get it. The next slide, please. Play this, please. Right there. Here's the group eating lunch. Next slide, please. But they were serenading the cooks and the dishwashers. They sang three different songs for that group. And the ladies were just tickled to death for that. It was good. It was really good. Now, this is the typical dress for this particular tribe there in Shillong. I took a lot of pictures of these ladies because I liked their dress. It's a very unique dress. All of them were different. Each place we stopped, they had a different dress. And I just like them. Next slide, please. Now, this is at Sibaka, right? These ladies have a different dress. You see the lace is different. There's a different collar on them. And it's not just because we were there. This is how they dress daily. Next slide, please. Okay, here is in their church. They took a lot of pride in decorating their church. These are all fresh flowers in the church. They had balloons up. It was obvious that they were real proud of their church and the building that they had built. Not somebody came in and built it. They built it. And they had really nice benches to sit on. And they made all those out of hardwood. And you can see the ladies are on one side of the church and the men's on the other. I'm not advocating that. Next slide, please. Now, this is a bunch of youngsters. And see, the young girls, they had on the dress too. Very nice. Very nice. Very proud people. And I want to say something about this group. We got there early that morning, and they had fixed breakfast for us. Breakfast consisted of ham sandwiches with lettuce and tomato. We didn't eat the lettuce. We took the lettuce off. But they gave us two sandwiches. Brother Bruce, myself, and Brother Steve. I looked around the room, and he looked around the room. Every one of them had one sandwich. And it was obvious these folks didn't have a whole lot. But they were willing to give us twice as much as they had. Now, if that won't get you. And we discussed it shortly, and we put one of the sandwiches back on the plate where they could have another sandwich if they wanted one. One was enough for us. And that really got my day started with this group and how they decorated the church, because they were so proud to share what they had. Whatever it was, they were going to share at least what they had. Next slide, please. These are the deacons of the church. There's Brother Steve right in the middle. Let me say something about him. Like Bruce said, he's 36 years old, got his doctorate and his master's degree in theology, and working on his doctorate. Very passionate preacher. Like I say, I don't understand Spanish. Even though I didn't understand Spanish, what he was preaching touched my heart. God works through language barriers. I wish that I had served the Lord sooner. Next slide, please. Well, we made a quick trip to San Cristo, got a motel room, and we found this little quaint place to eat. Play the video, please. Again.
Back it up a little bit. Back it up a little bit.
Now he's cutting off pieces of meat. And up high is pineapple. And he reaches up there and flips off some pineapple and puts it in the taco. That's taco al pasto. As Jeff would say, very nice. That pretty much concluded our trip. We went the next day. We got up early and we drove back into Tuxtla. Is the name of the town. Tuxtla, turned in the car, and on our way back in, there's 25 miles of downhill. Now, it was about 4 to 6% grade all the way. The trucks coming up were grinding it out, so it had to be between 4 and 6%. Now, 4 to 6% grade doesn't sound much like much in a car. But if you're going off of it in the truck, you're going to heat things up like brakes. And you see these runaway ramps up in Colorado? They had a few of them on this. And I've been off of some grades at 6%, like up in Oregon, and it's 10 miles. And I've had my brakes get hot, but I never had to do a ramp. But it's quite thrilling, you might say, to get on one of those grades. We went there to Tuxtla, turned the car in, met with another pastor that he knew there in Tuxtla, had a lunch, or breakfast, wasn't it? Breakfast. I had a very good Huevos Rancheros, where you got a taco, an egg, refried beans, fried banana, and avocado. Try it sometime. Very good. We got on a plane and flew to Mexico City. We had lunch with Brother Steve's father and Brother Steve's family. It was a very good time. And about 5 o'clock, well, we got on an airplane and came back to Dallas. And thank you very much for the opportunity to go on this trip. It was very, very enlightening. And like I say, if you have the opportunity to go, go. You can go first class on a budget. Thank you very much.
Amen. Appreciate that so very much, Brother Allen. Of course, I agree. If you have the opportunity to ever go on one of the trips, Bruce makes probably 3 or 4 trips a year, and some of those, probably along with them. And I strongly, how many have ever been to southern Mexico? I know several of you have. And I remember that grade coming down at San Cristobal, I think we were there for the 50th anniversary of Brother Milton. Marsha was with us, and we had to catch a flight out early out of Tuxtla. And David drove us from San Cristobal to the airport, and it did wonders for my prayer life. I was sitting in that front seat, and I prayed every mile of the way. I mean, it's what is the difference in grade, the elevation from San? And you do it in an hour, from 8,000 feet. I mean, it is down, and of course the other way it's up the whole trip. But it's anyway, it's beautiful. You go from Tuxtla, where it's hot and steamy, you get to San Cristobal, and you're putting your jacket on at night, and big difference. But it's again, wonderful. Please prayerfully consider going sometime. It would be wonderful to be able to again, some trips are more conducive than other trips, depending upon where they're going to be and what's going on. As those pictures are being seen, the one picture there towards the end with a big group there, I remember standing right there and I was alone, just Brother Milton and I, and I hadn't heard any English except from Brother Milton in the evening for days. And I'm standing there, and it was quite a pretty good meeting, pretty good crowd there, and suddenly I hear somebody speaking in English behind me, asking me how many times I'd been to Chiapas, and I turned around, and here was a young man. He had come down with Benjamin from northern Mexico from college, and I'm talking with him a little bit, and I asked him, I says, "Where did you learn to speak English?" Well, he says, "Oh, I was working a pipeline in Wyoming." And you run into that. But anyway, it's tremendous. He spoke of the sale of the ranch. So please be in prayer about that. It says 40 acres, but probably only 10 of it are really useful. It's just a little strip of land on the top of a ridge that's usable. The rest of it is like those hills, those ridges that you see, just straight up and down. I remember the days when we had the traipse up through the mud, and there wasn't anything from the main road to get up to the camp. But it'll be wonderful. They're talking about possibly a couple places where they would buy property. It would be a great enhancement to the ministries there. So many things they could do with a more centrally located piece of property. So please be in prayer about that and the continued work there. 50-some years ago now, I guess 55, 56 years ago, 58 years ago, that when Brother Milton Francis went to Mexico, Bruce was just a little shaver then, and all these years later, now 250, 300 churches as a result of a just, simple Bible ministry, teaching and preaching the Bible, and teaching it as God gave it to us. And so it's an amazing thing, and something to experience indeed. Well, you're still here. He needs to go, but does anybody have a question? I mean, somebody's got to ask Alan a question. I was trying to figure out where he was talking about the Mojave, and I thought, Sima Havel, yeah. And Brother Pastor Ramon has aged since I've seen him last. I mean, he's younger than... Oh, yeah. He's always laughing, always cutting up. And again, I didn't know what he was cutting up about, but you had to laugh at him because he enjoys himself so much. Amen. Anybody have a question for the guys about their trip? Guess you explained it all so well. All right. Pray for Brother Bruce as he's going to be part of this funeral this evening yet. Right, well, let's stand together, beloved. Father, we are so grateful, so thankful for this trip that the men were able to take. Thank you for the souls that were saved. Thank you, Father, for the lives that were encouraged and challenged. Father, the meeting there with the pastors, and always so great, the ordination. Father, the sweet fellowship that the people there enjoy. Please, Lord, continue. Prosper that work. Set your hedge about it. Keep it, Father, we commend those dear folks to you. Thank you for those men. Yes, for each of those pastors who are busy about the work, training and preparing other teachers, other preachers. Father, that you're going to continue to make an impact in southern Mexico for your glory. We thank you for every village, every town, every city where there's a witness of the gospel. Pray, Father, oh God, in these days that you would be pleased right here, Lake Worth, Fort Worth, Texas, to use us for your glory. Father, would we be those servants, those ambassadors for Christ, that our love for you would shine for the glory and the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is in his beautiful name that we pray. Amen and amen. Lord bless you.